Kimbo on the Reach with you on a Tuesday afternoon. Appreciate your company. Just a reminder, Jeff Parker, the recruiting manager for Port Adelaide, coming up after 4 p.m. And Australian and Strikers fast bowler Megan Schutt coming up after 4:30. But right now we're going to a guru. This man is the best in the business, Roach, when it comes to identifying young talent. The AFL National Draft gets underway tomorrow night at 6:30 Adelaide time, where we'll see the first 18 selections made. To find out what's going down, let's welcome Cal Toomey from AFL.com. How are you, Cal?
Hey, Kimbo. Hey, Roach. It's a busy week, but really exciting week for so many people around the country. So, yeah, can't wait for the picks to roll out on Wednesday night and Thursday.
Now, Cal, I know it is not about you, but do you get a little bit nervous? We spoke to Hamish Ogilvie last night. Their jobs are on the line, but your credibility's on the line. Yeah. You put out your top 30, your top 50, you update it every month. Are you feeling the pressure?
Oh, I thought it was all about me. No, I do get a little bit nervous because obviously you put yourself out there and have a crack, and that's the nature of the business. But I do understand as well that the fandom draft as an item is loved by and read by so many people, and that was an institution before I started doing it. So I enjoy it, but it is that sort of nervous moment where you know it's like, Roach, you click submit and file, and then it's off for someone else to go and judge what it's like. So we've all lived that one last night.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you put a big smile on his face there. Yeah. He's gone back in time while you were saying that.
Yes, and there's no recall, is there, Cal? Once it's done, it's done. But anyway, number one draft pick. I'm intrigued on this one. North Melbourne gets its first number one draft pick. We're all excited about Jason Horne-Francis. We've seen what he has done for South Adelaide. But would North be tempted to say Nick Dacos and watch Collingwood scamper for draft picks to match the bid?
Well, they're not going to. Whether they've been tempted to over the course of this year and as they've come to that decision, who knows? But they won't be doing that. And there's merit in both sides of the argument. I've sort of come around to the view that if the player's as good as Nick Dacos, then you're more than willing and should be really considering bidding for him. Mm. But then there's the other view that Jason Horne-Francis is always going to end up there, and he too wants to go at number one. So, little bit of a dilemma. And he really enjoys the idea of going number one, Jason Horne-Francis. So I think there's a bit of that to it too. And not to mention that he wouldn't be a deserving very early pick because he's a star, and I think everyone's going to love watching him for a long time.
Now, just to clear this one up, Cal, we know what the number one brings. It's going to bring a lot of attention. It gives you a profile, a status. What else is on the line if you are the number one draft pick? What else do you get out of this draft?
Well, there's a financial investment portfolio that comes via NAB as part of that, but that's not part of the thinking. It's never really been part of the thinking when these sort of decisions are made on bidding. We know last year, obviously, the Crows bid at pick one on Jamari Ugle-Hagan, and that meant that the status of number one didn't go to Riley Silthorpe, who they took the next pick, but other than that, I mean, there's prestige and the players themselves who are right at the top end value it really highly, and it becomes an honour, and it's, as you say, something that lives with your footy career and beyond forever. But in terms of actually stepping into a club, there's probably not a huge difference between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 10.
Cal, you possibly heard we're having a chat with Jeff Parker just after 4 o'clock, the Port Adelaide recruiting manager. We need to know what we should be asking. We're hearing that Port Adelaide will be having a good look at a lad, I hope I've got his name right, Josh Gibkas from the Greater Western Victoria Rebels. I noticed in your lineup, you've got them maybe taking Josh Sinn, and there's also a lot of talk about them being very keen on Ben Hobbs. Update us on what you know.
Well, I've only got one question you can ask Jeff on my behalf, if I'm right. So I'm more than happy if you throw that one at him when you get him on the show. Look, I think that Josh Sinn would be right in that mix as an attacking halfback, and what he can do creatively as a left footer. He's got genuine speed and take me on angles to his game, and a striking left foot. He really can penetrate the lines with just a couple of steps and a long kick. So he's had a frustrating year with injury. He's right in that mix. Josh Gibkas, well, I just don't know if he's going to get to that point of the draft. I would struggle to see him getting to there as a key back. But again, if he was there, then you'd definitely be looking at a player of his ilk. He's a very quality, high-quality centre-half back who's in the Jake Lever sort of mould. And then Ben Hobbs, well, I think he'd be an awesome option for Port Adelaide if he got there. No doubt about that. The midfield brawn that he can bring straight away from day one, even as an 18-year-old, is really impressive. And yeah, I think he'd be a perfect fit. In saying that, there's a chance that he gets through a couple of picks. I'm not sure if he gets all the way through to Port Adelaide. The other midfielders that would be right in contention there are the WA boys, Neil Erasmus and Matt Johnson, who are both midfielders. Different types, both taller midfielders, but different types. Johnson, a 193 centimetre mid, who is a great kick and really quick. And then there's Neil Erasmus, who probably plays a little bit of half-forward stuff as well. A taller midfielder, 190 centimetres, who marks around the ground. So those are the group of names, but there's no doubt that Josh Sinn is right among them.
Cal, can I play the devil's advocate there? Why are you so bullish on Josh Sinn when Port Adelaide seem to have a dearth of halfback flankers?
Maybe he's better than them. And maybe he plays on the wing. There's different views on where he ends up playing and what he can do. There's obviously the ability to shift David Dersma into the midfield in the coming seasons, maybe even next year. What do they do in terms of moving Bergman? How do they play him? He's so versatile. This is Miles Bergman. Can he play on the wing full-time? Can he do other things? There's a lot of roles he can play around with him.
Yeah, you've got Lockie Jones as well.
Lockie Jones as well, yeah. I see Lockie Jones is a very different player to Josh Sinn, though. One's a really quick rebounder. The other one is a steadier, controlling sort of halfback. So, yeah, you take the best player when they're there, and Josh Sinn could be it.
Cal, last night we spoke to Hamish Ogilvie, the Crows recruiting manager, and he played the line we know so well, particularly when they've got an early pick, that they'll take the best player who is available when they have their number four, which we expect will go out to number six. Profile-wise, we see Adelaide needing some stuff for the midfield, but you've nominated a small forward who probably will be their pick at number six. Tell us more about Josh Rochelle.
Or is it Rochelle?
Yeah, Josh Rochelle. I'm a huge fan of Josh Rochelle, and I love his match-winning capacity. And we just actually had him on our Draft Night Live countdown show on AFL.com.au, and he's got genuine sort of spunk about him as a small forward who I think will be a midfielder in time. I think there's genuine prospects for him to do that in his one Vic Country game for the year. Obviously, the carnival was cut short. He had 22 touches and kicked a goal, so wasn't out of place against what was the best sort of opposition he played this year. He's got the capacity to do that. Yeah, he's on the smaller end, but he's powerful. He can mark overhead, kicks goals out of nowhere. His highlights tape, just looking through purely his goals over the past three seasons, is the best in the draft pool nearly. So, yeah, there's a lot to like about him. And, yeah, there's some other smaller players that have been drafted the past couple of years. We know Nebby Kenry's had a good season as he developed in his career. Chase Jones in the same draft in 2018. But I think that Rochelle is a different type to the guys already there. And, yeah, he's a genuine match-winning sort of aspects to how he plays.
He's not light on personality, is he? I was having a read about him, and he loves a goal celebration, and he has perfected the Sam Kerr backflip, and he just wants the green light from whoever club he goes to be able to do it.
Yeah, he's got some confidence, but a lot of the players at the top end of the draft have confidence these days, and it's a new generation, so they're more than willing to talk about that, which is always fun for us in the media to have those discussions. We like the players who come through the draft because they've generally got the personality still within them that hasn't been beaten them out by club protocols and all the rest over the years. So, yeah, I think supporters, if he does land there, the other ones are going to enjoy him. The other ones the Crows have looked at closely are Josh Sinn, who we mentioned before with Port Adelaide's mix, Nazai Wanganeen Malira, the local wingman from Glenelg, and also Ben Hobb, another inside midfielder. So that's the group, and all the rage is with Rochelle.
So you think Nasai Wanganeen Millera is good enough to go at pick six?
Well, clubs view him as a top 10 pick all the country over, so it wouldn't be that much of a jump to grab him there. Would the Crows, in that case, if they're settled on or interested in him, slide back a couple of spots to grab him there? There's probably still a chance to get him if they did any deal with Richmond. I don't think that deal is going to happen or any movement's going to happen within the top 10 picks when push comes to shove on Wednesday night. But, yeah, look, he's one of the most key players in it, and he's a point of difference to a lot of other players who are up for grabs there, and it's a really even group beyond that first tier of players. So I could easily see a club ranking him in the top six or seven selections.
Cal, Jeff Parker is Port Adelaide's recruiting manager, goes as it listed now, pick 12. Then he's got to wait 50 picks to call again. He's got Jason Burgoyne to deal with as a father-son pick. We could expect some bidding from Essendon and Melbourne. He's got some eagerness to get some other players in. Who are they going to deal with if they want to do some live trading to get into the second or third round for extra draft picks?
Yeah, there's some clubs in the 20s that have looked around at potentially moving out. And we know the Bulldogs will move out their pick 23. That'll probably go to Geelong, though. So that one's probably off the table. Richmond could do something. I think it wouldn't surprise anyone if they, how do you say it, shed one of their picks in the 20s and push that into next year. If they're happy with the four players they might get by that point, and maybe they move on the third pick in the 20s. And that might be a point where Port Adelaide and Essendon's another club that have looked to trade into this year by adding another sort of top 30 to 35 pick. And it would be good business to do that. The other option as well, and I'm big on Port Adelaide having a look at this, and I think they should, is if the right players are still there at 12, if Port Adelaide is still looking at a couple of options for that pick once they pick in the first round, then I think that they should put their future first on the table and go to the Giants with it at pick 13 and say, would you do a deal on this one? Because there could be a couple of good players there, and the Giants are open to offers for pick 13. So that might be a good way to double up on really, really top-end talent.
And we'll ask Jeff Parker about that one. That's got Rooch aroused. Going back to the Crows just quickly, Finn Callaghan, we know that every club would love to have them, have him. Is there any chance that Adelaide could move up the board somehow?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope. I know there's a lot of Crows fans out there with that hope. And I think that can probably be put to bed. I wouldn't go to bed tonight thinking that Finn Callaghan has a chance to get through to pick four, because it would take something absolutely monumental, one of the bigger curveballs in draft history, for that to change at this point.
So are you expecting any big plays like that?
Not at the top end. No, I think the group at the very top end are, I hate to say set in stone, because nothing's set in stone, but I think it's, clubs are pretty confident on where that'll land, and Mac Andrew likely heading to the Suns. Callaghan likely heading to the Giants. And also the battle with that is, even if the Giants somehow sprung any surprise, which they're not going to, but if they're going to spring a surprise and pick another tall, then the Gold Coast Footy Club would be swooping on Finn Callaghan as well. So no, there's no chance of that happening.
Bloody hell, boys. Don't these clubs realise it's a TV event now?
Cal, 2 years affected by COVID, players not able to play junior footy, struggling with getting even into training routines. Which of the draft pools is more speculative, the one from last year or the one of this year?
I'll tell you what one it is, Rooch. It's next year's. We haven't got there yet, but yeah. Look, I think it's probably this year, because last year they at least had all their 17s programs and games to work off, and that created a pretty good base. I mean, look at Elijah Hollins. He didn't play last year through very different circumstances to everyone else. He did his knee in February. But all the clubs knew of his talent because he had a full year of under-17s form to go off. So that's changed. And this year, it's a little bit more difficult for them to do that. So, yeah, we wait and see how next year looks. Hopefully, it's an uninterrupted season for all the campaigners next year, because the 17s was broken this year and the 16s didn't happen last year.
Cal, always a great chat. We really appreciate your time. We wish you all the best over the next couple of days. We'll be keeping an eye on all your predictions, and I'm sure you'll be pretty much on the money.
Thank you, guys. Anytime.
All right. There he is, Cal Toomey from AFL.com. He lives and breathes it. Interesting. Not going to see anything really exciting tomorrow, Rooch.
You can never predict, can you?
Never say never.
You just, those famous moments that we remember from, three drafts ago, when Soss picks up the phone to Justin Reid because he wants to do a late minute pick on that one. So, hey, it's difficult to get the crystal ball on this one.
All right, we've got a
Don't
bit of
say never.
We've got a bit of ammo now to fire at Jeff Parker, Port Adelaide recruiting manager. He's coming up next after the 4 o'clock news. Kimbo on the Rooch with you, and we're here all thanks to the Hyundai Staria load. It fits in everything.